chased Mustafa Al-Hashlamun, 18 years of age, before one of them struck him with a baton and the three proceeded to assault him. The center added that he managed to escape during the attack and went to his workplace, suffering various cuts and bruises in addition to sharp pains in his right arm. The police arrived at the scene and initiated an investigation into the assault. On Monday at night, a group of Israeli extremists hurled stones on Palestinian homes in their Istia town, west of the central West Bank city of Salfit, causing property damage and obscenity attacks among children. Elsewhere, Israeli soldiers, accompanied by armored bulldozers, invaded on Tuesday morning Palestinian farmlands in Ar-Rashida village east of the West Bank city of Bethlehem and placed a road barrier blocking an agricultural road. The road was prepared for use nearly a year ago to enable the residents to enter their olive orchards and lands close to the Ma'ale Amos illegal colony built on private-owned Palestinian lands. Earlier on Tuesday at dawn, Israeli soldiers invaded several Palestinian communities in different parts of the occupied West Bank and kidnapped 13 Palestinians after storming their homes and violently searching them. In the Gaza Strip on Tuesday, about 5 Israeli military tanks stormed and razed farmlands near the town of Khuzza'a in the southern Gaza Strip. Palestinian farmers fled their lands in fear of being attacked by Israeli tanks. Damage was reported, but no injuries. And that's all for today from the IMEMC News. This was a Tuesday, September 8, 2015, news roundup from the occupied Palestinian territories. For more news and updates, please visit our website at www.imemc.org. Today's report has been brought to you by George Jmawi and me, Ghassan Bandura.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Jared Dantzler, Connie Kazanowski, Cliff Vera, and Jim Thompson. Our engineer is Sequoia Wright, and the KBOO Evening News and the Public Affairs Director is Janka Soderberg. A podcast of local stories from this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/evening news, or look for us on Twitter at KBOO News. You are listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM, K282BH, Philomath 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River 91.9 FM. I'm Connie Kazanowski.
And I'm Jared Dantzler. Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO at 7, Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8 on Wednesday Talk Radio, host Paul Rowland interviews Ron Jacobs, author of Daydream Sunset, part memoir and part social history of the 1970s. At 9, Michelle Schroeder Fletcher speaks with Kentaro Toyama about his new book, Geek Heresy, Rescuing Social Change from the Cult of Technology. At 9:30, we speak with Kate Harding about her book, Asking for It, The Alarming Rise of Rape Culture and What We Can Do About It. At 10, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentaries with Chris Andre. At 10:15, hear Flashpoints, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. And at 11, on the Dirtbag, host Glenn Anderson welcomes back John Saltveit to discuss his productive gardening style, edible weeds, food forests, and medicinal plants. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. KBOO's fall membership drive starts tomorrow. Tune in for great special programming. Good night, Connie.
Good night, Jared.
KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community. We'll be right back.
The United States Nuclear Regulatory Commission is considering a move to change policy regarding nuclear radiation exposure. The present linear no-threshold hypothesis assumes long-term biological damage and cancer risk is proportionate to radiation dose. A newly adopted theory undermines the former with the idea that low amounts of radiation are actually beneficial to public health. It's called radiation hormesis, hormesis from an ancient Greek word meaning to set in motion. For more about the switch, we spoke with Carl Grossman, journalist, professor, and outspoken anti-nuclear activist. Carl, what has prompted this shift in policy regarding nuclear radiation exposure?
Three nuclear advocates have filed a petition with the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission to throw out what's been the standard in the United States. In fact, it's the standard in the world, been for decades, the linear no threshold basis of radiation protection, and adopt instead something called the radiation hormesis theory. This theory, which has also been around for years and it's been debunked repeatedly, holds that low doses of radioactivity are good for you. So essentially what you have here are a number of pro-nuclear figures saying that the United States should forget about what's been the standard for many years, that the no threshold means there's no threshold in terms of the dangers of radioactivity, that any amount of radiation can cause illness and kill, particularly with cancer. To forget about that, even though it's been proven completely, and instead to not just to adopt a standard in which there would be a threshold, but to adopt a standard which claims that radioactivity is good for you.
Why now are advocates intent on implementing this shift?
Hard to know why. I mean, this is something that the nuclear establishment, the proponents of nuclear technology, nuclear power, and so forth, have always wanted. I mean, it opens the way for, for example, cleanup of nuclear contamination. Near you in the state of Washington, the Hanford nuclear reservation is just, it's a mess, a Superfund site full of radioactive pollution. If you have this hormesis theory being accepted, the government could say, well, we don't have to work so hard. We don't have to spend so much money on cleaning up Hanford because low doses of radioactivity are good for you. Or in terms of the continuing problems caused by the Fukushima nuclear disaster and the stuff, in fact, the stuff moving, and it's has been moving now for over 4 years since the accident began, to the east towards Oregon and California, the government can say, well, you know, if there's a little bit more radioactivity here on the West Coast, we cannot be concerned because radioactivity is good for you. As to why precisely now this is being pushed, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, which has always been a big booster of nuclear technology, cheerleaders supposed to monitors. Some people have said that the NRC stands not for Nuclear Regulatory Commission, but Nuclear Rubber Stamp Commission. I mean, the NRC has never denied a construction or operating license for any nuclear power plant anywhere, anytime in the United States. And, well, in recent years, it's gotten even worse. For example, Greg Josko, who was the chairman when the Fukushima disaster began, he was forced out as being the head of the NRC because he pressed the NRC to look for lessons learned as a result of the Fukushima disaster. And the nuclear industry didn't like this. The nuclear establishment, those folks in government like the Department of Energy and the National Nuclear Laboratories, they didn't like this. And the next thing you know, Jasko, who had a PhD in nuclear physics, was forced out of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. And what's left there is, it's beyond a nuclear rubber stamp commission. It's beyond a nobody really cares operation. It's just a tool for the nuclear establishment, and here it would be doing the bidding in an outrageous way. I mean, the reason that this linear no threshold standard was adopted because, well, in the 1940s we had the Manhattan Project, when in fact Hanford was set up to create plutonium for weapons. And in the 1940s, after the Manhattan Project, in fact, during the Manhattan Project, there was an acknowledgement that radioactivity was very problematic. But the thinking was, at low doses, there shouldn't be a concern. There would be a threshold below which radioactivity wouldn't impact on people's health. Now, to give these folks an excuse, I mean, in fact, what occurs with low doses of radioactivity is that there's a latency or an incubation period of 5 to 40 years before the low doses manifest themselves in illnesses, particularly cancer. So in the late 40s and the early 50s, they didn't see people weren't falling dead in the gutters because of low-level radiation exposure. But then in the mid-50s, suddenly people who were exposed to low doses of radiation years before ended up with various illnesses again, particularly cancer. And then this linear no-threshold standard was adopted by the United States and adopted all over the world and by the United Nations as well. And that's been the basis of radiation protection ever since the 1950s. Here, what these nuclear proponents would have the U.S. government say is that, okay, not only are we going to, talk about a threshold again, that's not the issue. This is much more serious. It's much worse. We're going to, as a national policy, if the Nuclear Regulatory Commission supports this, say that low doses of radioactivity are actually good for people. I mean, you can call it a hoax, you can call it baloney, but as various people, well, Michael Marriott, the president of the Nuclear Information and Resource Service, says, and this is in a piece I wrote for Counterpunch. It's on Counterpunch today, counterpunch.org. I quote Michael as saying, if implemented, the hormesis model would result in needless death and misery. And I also, I quote the, it's an online publication on nuclear issues called Nuclear News, as saying that if adopted, this would be, let me get the exact quote here, if I can find it, this would be the most significant, this is in my article, an alarming change to U.S. federal policy on nuclear radiation. So this is serious stuff. People are going to end up, hate to be maudlin, hate to be so, heavy on this, but people, if the government, if the Nuclear Regulatory Commission gets its way, there'll be people who will die as a result of this, it's beyond loosening of radiation standards.
I've been speaking with Carl Grossman about the United States Nuclear Regulatory Commission considering a move to eliminate the linear no-threshold basis of radiation protection and adopting a new radiation hormesis theory, which holds that low doses of radioactivity are good for people. Carl's professor of journalism at the State University of New York College at Old Westbury, author of Cover Up, What You Are Not Supposed to Know About Nuclear Power and the Wrong Stuff, the Space Program's Nuclear Threat to Our Planet. He just wrote the piece, Radiation is Good for You, and Other Tall Tales of the Nuclear Industry. Carl, on behalf of KBOO and our listeners, thank you for your voice. For KBOO News, I'm Jared Dantzler.
time is 6 o'clock, and you are listening to KBOO Portland. 90.7 FM. Stay tuned for preference.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the other September 11th, film screening and discussion about the lasting impacts of the U.S.-funded military coup in Chile on September 11th, 1973. The event will take place on Friday, September 11th at 7 p.m. at the Fifth Avenue Cinema in Portland. This film screening will include two 30-minute documentaries that focus on Mapuche land reclamation and language revitalization, as well as a discussion with the filmmaker about the specific laws that have been used to target the indigenous Mapuche people since the dictatorship began in 1973. Again, that's the other September 11th, on Friday, September 11th, at 7 p.m. at Fifth Avenue Cinema, 510 Southwest Hall Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Mercy Killers, a play presented by Healthcare for All Oregon on Thursday, September 17th,